As we look at the book of 1 Kings today, we see something going on. Solomon, the king of the United Kingdom of Israel, is now dead. His son, Rehoboam, is about to take over. He is the one next in line. It is now time for his inauguration or coronation. It is time to make him king. He is the main player that we're going to discuss today. But there was another person who was going to be made king also. His name was Jeroboam. Jeroboam was an administrator in King Solomon's cabinet. He was an industrious young man, as it tells us in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings. He was put over the labor force. But a prophet spoke to him and told them that the kingdom would still soon be torn into pieces. And the kingdom would be divided. And in the divided kingdom, the northern tribes, the 10 northern tribes of Israel would be called Israel. And Jeroboam would be the leader. But the southern tribe where Judah was in Jerusalem would still remain and be under the leadership of the descendants of David. This was the beginning of a divided kingdom. King Solomon found out, and he tried to kill Jeroboam. So Jeroboam had to leave town and go to Egypt. He became a man on the run. The topic today is Game of Thrones. The leaders might change, but the faith must remain in the Lord. That title comes from a popular book and a popular television series called Game of Thrones. And the premise of this series is you have seven kingdoms who used to be united under one throne, but now they are divided. And each of the leaders of the seven kingdoms are trying to become the leader of the United Kingdom once again. And I thought this was so appropriate for today as we look at what's going on around the nation, around the country, around the world. I think there's some guidance in this scripture, for this is a show that we've seen again over and over. So we look at verse 1 of chapter 12 of 1 Kings, and Rehoboam went to Shechem. For all Israel had gone to Shechem to make him king. The time was about 930 BC, the date. And this location was chosen because it was a central location among the nations or the tribes of Israel. It was a sacred location, because many activities where the Lord had moved in the lives of the children of Israel and God spoke to individuals happened in this same location. So it was time for the coronation to make Rehoboam, the son of King Solomon, king. And in verse 2, so it happened where when Jeroboam is the other player who was the one who was in exile in Egypt, where Jeroboam, the son of Naboth, heard it, he was still in Egypt, for he had fled from the presence of King Solomon and had been dwelling in Egypt. Verse 3, that they sent and called him. They said, Jeroboam, it's time to come home. Solomon is dead. We know that you are a capable leader also. So Jeroboam came home to the northern 10 tribes of Israel. They sent and called him. And then Jeroboam and the whole assembly of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, now check this out. They came to speak to Rehoboam. They came during the time of the coronation with a message. The whole assembly of Israel came. Notice that this is a diverse group representing Israel. This is a group that has been through many trials and tribulations, and now they want their voices to be heard. So they came to Rehoboam, and they had this message in the fourth verse. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you. What he's saying, what they're saying is that your father Solomon, he was a good ruler, but even he had his problems. Yeah. He started increasing taxes to support the building projects around the kingdom. And most of the building project happened in Jerusalem. He built a great big house in Jerusalem. He built the temple in Jerusalem. They're saying your father was a nice ruler, but he started increasing taxes and he worked us kind of hard. Solomon had split the kingdom into 12 districts. And they paid heavy taxes to support all of those building projects in Jerusalem. You can find that in chapter 4, starting at verse 7. So they came to him and said that we're paying a lot of taxes. Solomon had also instituted a forced labor program. You can find that in chapter 5 of this book. He instituted a labor program to gather materials, wood and stone and other things to build in the kingdom. They went to Lebanon and got the finest trees for wood. They even had a system where you were drafted to work and you might spend 1 month in intense labor and 2 months at home. It was hard on the people. According to the theologian Warren Wiersbe, the people had this attitude. Why should these hardworking people sacrifice just so that the king could live in a magnificent house, be pampered by servants, and eat daily at a festive table? The people were wearing a yoke and they were tired of it. A yoke is anything that burdens us down, that controls us, that keeps us from being our natural self. They were saying if you lower the taxes, if you reduce the forced labor, if you help the lower class families, if you look out for everyone, we will serve you. In other words, we will serve you, Rehoboam, if you serve us and make life easier for us. So in verse 5, Rehoboam said to them, depart from 3 days, depart for 3 days, then come back to me. And the people departed. You know, a good leader takes time to consider options before making decisions. This was a good thing. Because a good leader will listen to their advisors. So he said, give me 3 days to think about it. You know, sometimes things you say early in your administration kind of shape your whole term in office. You got to be careful of the commitments you make and the things that you say. Verse 6, then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. And he said, how do you advise me to answer these people? Rehoboam did a good thing. He got good advisors, the elderly gentlemen, the gentlemen who helped his father out, his father's advisors, that said, I said, this is the situation. How would you advise me? Give me some advice. That's another trait of a good leader. Seeks opinions from others who are wiser than he is. And they spoke to him, saying, if you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and answer them and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever. Kind of sounds like good advice, doesn't it? They told him to lighten the load. They told him to reduce taxes. They told him to keep and improve the Affordable Care Act. They told him to improve the work conditions. They told him to make mortgages more affordable. They told him to serve the people. And not only serve them, but to speak to them as if they're just like you. Speak good words to them. And if you do that, they will respect you. They will honor you. And they will support you. But look at verse 8. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. Look what's happening. He's rejecting wise, godly counsel. He's rejecting sensible counsel. And he's consulting the young men who had grown up with him. He's consulting his boys. There is danger in having a team where everyone looks and thinks like you. These young men were hanging buddies with Rehoboam. Just so we don't think that Rehoboam is a young man, a teenager. He was 41 years old when he became king, according to the 14th chapter, verse 21. So he had some age on him. He should have had some wisdom on him. But he consulted the ones who had grown up with him, the ones who went to the same schools that he went to, the ones that were of the same political party that he was, the ones who were rich like him, the ones who were privileged like him, the ones that belonged to the same country club that he belonged to, the young man who had grown up with him. And in verse 9, and he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, lighten the yoke which your father put on us? Verse 10, then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, thus you shall speak to this people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. What they're saying is, if you think you had it bad, if you wanted to criticize my father, You ain't seen nothing yet. If you think he was tough, I will be tougher. And now in verse 11, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourge. Or in King James, it says scorpions. This is what happens. This is the type of answer you get when everybody who surrounds you is just like you. This is the talk of the young elites, those born with silver spoons in their mouth. There was no relationships with the working class citizens. This was not a diverse group of advisors, but folks with the same mindset of Rehoboam. In her book, The Team of Rivals, The Political Genius of Abraham Lincoln's, the writer Doris Kearns Godwin explains Abraham Lincoln's view of, in order to win a man to your cause, you must first reach his heart, which is the great high road to his reason. That book, Team of Rivals, The Political Genius of Abraham Lincoln, is a book about how Abraham Lincoln, when he became president, he reached out to those who ran against him and he put them in his cabinet because he wanted a diverse cabinet. He didn't want everybody who thought like him. But he knew that the strength of the country would come from a representation of the country and not from everybody who thought like him or looked like him. So the three rivals that he had who ran up against him for presidency, he went to them, reached out to them, made them his advisors. And through his wisdom, he made it work. You know, leadership is not an entitlement, but a mandate to serve and to protect. As we look at what's going on in the country, I wonder sometimes where the advice is coming from. Who's giving the advice? And as this 11th verse, the guidance from his voice, say, I will add to your work, whereas your father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Now, we all know what a whip is. A whip is usually something made of leather that is used to inflict punishment or torture. But that scorpion is a horse of a different color, as they say. It is a whip that has three or more strands on the end of it, so that when it hits the body, it inflicts more pain and punishment. And on top of that, they braided it with pieces of metal so that when it hit the back, it would tear the back. So what the boys are advising him, his boys are advising Rehoboam to tell them, if you think you had it tough before, it's going to be a lot tougher. And whereas my dad punished you when you got out of line, I'm going to be a whole lot tougher on you. 1 Kings 12, verse 12. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day. 3 days have gone by. And now it's time for King Rehoboam during his inauguration period. It's time for him to make an impact. It's time for him to start leading the people. Jeroboam came with the people. Verse 13, then the king, King Rehoboam, look what he did. He answered the people roughly. and rejected the advice which his elders had given him. Instead of using wisdom and providing a soft answer like the elders suggested, he answered them in a rough way. He was trying to insert his authority, and he spake to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, "My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions." So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from the Lord, that he might fulfill his words which the Lord had spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite and Jeroboam the son of Nebat. This was all done. This had to be done for God to get the people's attention. Because of the bad deeds of Solomon at the end of his life, when Solomon turned away from godly practices and started incorporating pagan practices into the kingdom, the Lord said the people had to be punished. The people would be divided. The kingdom would be divided. No longer would there be centralized government for all the people of Israel, but there would be two different governments. Jeroboam would take the 10 northern tribes while Judah remained with Rehoboam. That's the way it was going to be. And you see that in the 11th chapter of this book. Only because Solomon had turned away from the Lord. 1 Kings 11:11. "Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and have not kept my covenant," because you have turned from me and you have instituted pagan ways, what he's saying. "Because you have not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you and give it to your servants. Nevertheless, I will not do it in your days. For the sake of your father David, I will tear it out of the hand of your son. However, I will not tear it away from the whole kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of my servant David and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." This was going to happen. The kingdom was going to be divided because they had turned away from God. And the instrument was Rehoboam in the way he answered the people. As we look at this, I have several suggestions in scriptures of how things might have turned out differently for Rehoboam. Number one, if he had had more diverse advisors, if he had had somebody in his group that came from a working class background, things might have turned out different. Number two, if he had answered the people in a pleasant way, things might have turned out different. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger." If he had used godly wisdom, he might have done something differently. Proverbs 15:2, "The tongue of the wise uses knowledge all right, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness." If you want to be thought a fool, then start talking foolishly. That's what Rehoboam did. He could have used the wisdom of the elders, the same wisdom that his father Solomon prayed for in his days as he became the king of the United Kingdom. Psalm 111:10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever." the fear of the Lord. If you want to have people respect you, then you need to fear the Lord and treat the people right. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instructions. Fools despise wisdom and instructions. Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. I wonder where we get our advice from on days like this. Proverbs 16:16 says, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather than to be chosen than silver? How much better is it to get wisdom than to have all the riches in the world? You can have the position, but if people are scared of you, if people dislike you, if you're not working on behalf of the people, you have not shown good wisdom. You have not shown good leadership. There's some advice for leaders that I gleaned from the Center of Creative Leadership that might be helpful to leaders in times like this. Number one, when someone comes to you with a problem, do you shift gears and listen or put them off and hope they'll go away? Number two, how often do you find yourself complaining about something? We need to contain our complaining. Number three, do I take a lot of satisfaction in lecturing people or being tough on them? Number four, when someone tells me a new ideal, do I look for an objection to puncture their balloon? Do I take the wind out of them? Do I make them feel lower than they are? And the last piece I gleaned from them, how often do I use the word I? How often do I use the word I in front of my people? How often do I tell my people that I did this? How often do I tell my people how smart I am? How often do I tell my people how privileged I am? How often do I tell my people how rich I am? How often do I tell my people how influential I am? How often do I talk about me and not talk about them? This is no game here, my brothers and sisters, of what we're going through. But it's all been played out before. So we should not be surprised to see it rise up again. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. Amen. We will go through trials and tribulations. We will have hard times and we will have rough times. But one thing we do have is the consistency of our relationship with Jesus Christ, who will not let us fail, who will not let us disappear, who will not let us shut up, but will allow us to speak up, will allow us to shout out, will allow us to cry a foul when we see a foul, that will allow us to protest even if we have to go to the streets, that will be with us throughout. Real change, as one politician recently said, comes through the people. I might be in the power or the position of president, but real change comes from the people collectively. I might be your leader, but real change comes to the collective minds of the people. And I'm foolish enough to stand here and say that I believe that if all people pray, get that on their knees and honor the Lord, I believe things will change for the better. They might be rough for a time period. We will have storms in our life, but storms don't last always. Amen. Storms don't last always. Some storms are longer than others. And my prayer is that this is not a 4-year storm. Amen. Certainly not an 8-year storm. I pray that it is not that long, but there will come a brighter day. But it's up to us to get together and pray. It's up to us to present our views, to collectively present the views of the people and not accept what is being spoon-fed to us. It's up to us to stand up and shout out. It's up to us to not sit down and be passive, but it's up to us, the people of God, to come together and with force show our displeasure. You couldn't watch the news yesterday without seeing great gatherings of women who were collectively bringing their voices together, bringing their concerns together. A wise ruler sees that. A wise ruler realizes that he has to serve all the people. If I remember correctly, Rehoboam was king for around 16 years. Thank God for term limits. He was king for 16 years. I can believe I have that correct. But the kingdom remained divided. My prayer is that we unite together. My prayer is that we come together and become a force of nature that asks the question, are you ready to serve us? Are you ready to listen to our concerns? Are you ready for diversity in your cabinet and your administration? Are you ready to hear our cry? Are you ready to make policy based off of what is good for all the people? Or are you going to continue to answer us roughly and talk about yourself all the time? The leaders might change, but our faith, my brothers and sisters, must remain in the Lord, who is consistent. The same Lord of yesterday is the same Lord of today and will be the same Lord of tomorrow. We've seen it all before. But God will deliver. God will deliver. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Amen.